I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time for Dirt and Sprague.
I've never been on live television before, but apparently sometimes I don't watch the news.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brandon Sprague.
Because I'm a kid, and apparently Grandpa just gives me the remote after we watch the Powerball.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
We'll probably sit around and cook some soups and eat bread and desserts and just get all fat and sassy.
The Fan.
Hey, let's do this. Final hour, Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan, 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube as we are every single morning.
Look at this, look at that.
Thanks for being with us. Hope your Tuesdays are off to a great start. We're always fat and sassy on this show. That's how we roll, especially now. I got Fat Sprague back and I'm loving every second of it.
I love meat.
We're eating sweets, we're eating fast food. Look at this. We're just getting fat together. It's football season. That's what we do. You got to bulk up.
Fire in your gut.
I do. I mean, quite literally did yesterday. Some of the food choices I made weren't great, so bit of a fire going on down there. We have a lot to get to in the final hour. Get your mail sack questions in, 503-864-6326. That is the Vancouver Ford text line. We'll answer them coming up in a few moments. And then, is this a problem? Should I be concerned? Bottom of the hour.
Okay.
Let's start, though, with a couple of people that I would like to talk about in this segment, and we'll start with the coaching side of this. Where are we at on this gentleman going into the season? Has he learned his lesson? Because he made an announcement yesterday about a staffing hire that he made. Will this fix the issue?
Well, the first one is follow process. We had a process in place. We just didn't follow it. We've also added a time management coach to always just over harp on the situation. Again, we had it in place. We didn't follow process, which is the most important part. But we certainly cranked up the intensity and the organization behind it.
Who is the time management coach?
We don't.
Not going to name it. We can't name who the time management coach is. We've hired a time management coach, but you can't know who he is. Said we had one in place last year, but we didn't follow the protocol.
He is the worst.
You got to follow the protocol with time management.
He is the worst. I'm so glad you don't have to defend him and Duck Fan hasn't ever. Oh, what? This protocol is how coach should be.
That started to go out the window when you lost a 3-9 Stanford. That eroded pretty quickly. Has he learned his lesson?
I mean,
will he ever get out of his own way?
No.
Because from a talent standpoint, Miami should be one of the better teams in the country this year.
Second best odds to win the ACC this year. The talent is not a problem. They're actually still missing. No.
No.
Nobody.
No.
People that follow Miami are not complaining about that. They're not perfect, but in that garbage-ass conference, they should be in the conversation, if not the favorite, to win it.
Florida State just lost, too. They already have a conference loss under their belt.
I think you can only do so much to skate around what everybody knows. And that is, he's not a good in-game coach. He just isn't.
No.
He had success at Oregon? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I would argue in somewhat of a down conference. And at Miami, so far, has not gone well. Lost to Middle Tennessee State at home, I think by a... Was that a close game or a decent amount they lost by?
I don't remember it off the top of my head.
I remember a Tennessee player just cruising after a bomb.
Yeah, 80-yard touchdown.
And they got off to a good start last year, and they choked away their game against Georgia Tech. He just isn't good in game. He never has been. Even at Oregon, he made Duck Fan go, what?
Yeah, famously, the Stanford game in his first year as head coach where he didn't take a knee and they fumble the ball, very similar to the Miami-Georgia Tech thing.
So how many different people can you hire to coach specific areas of in-game coaching for you? Like, at the end of the day, he is the head honcho. And you know how he operates. He operates hot. If he wants to do something, you damn sure going to shut up. He's going to do what he wants to do. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you're being put in a body bag.
Yeah.
And so, like, we got a time management coach that he refuses to name. That was mandated. I'm telling you, he didn't make that decision
on
his own. You're
hiring a guy that's going to tell you when to call a timeout and when to take a knee.
Yes. Yes. Because his reluctancy to name it, like, we all know who his strength coach is, don't we?
We do.
What's that guy's name?
We do. Aaron Feld.
Aaron Feld. Fill the sleeves. Okay. He wanted you to know that name.
He did.
Who's his offensive line coach? One of his oldest friends in the world?
Yeah, what's his name?
Mirabal.
Yeah, Alex Mirabal.
You know the names. He wants you to know the names. This one, I don't think he wanted this. And there's a reason he's not talking about what the guy's name is because he doesn't know how to handle clock management. And so what they're going to do at Miami, because they gave him $90 million.
They did, and they lost their big booster, so good luck buying out that contract.
They are going to find all of the ways to coach around his obvious flaws, and that's he's not good in game. Good recruiter, maybe master motivator, awful in game.
Yeah.
And they're going to find every way to cover him up and protect him because they can't buy him out.
Yeah, it's just it's one of those where at some point you feel like you would have the ability to be introspective and realize I am very good at X, Y, and Z. I am lacking at A and B. How do I find a way to fix those issues? How do I find a way to overcome those issues so that the things that I'm strong at can be something that we can lean on in order to get to where we need to go as a program? And I don't know, like, we just got done talking about Dabo and joking about him taking a call. His stubbornness is what is crumbling the Clemson program. He's still a very good recruiter. Mm-hmm. I don't think he has forgotten how to coach football. He has two national championships. He beat Nick Saban in a national championship, for heaven's sakes. The guy knows what he's doing. But his stubbornness and inability to acknowledge, like, hey, we have a couple of holes on our roster, and there's a starter at Ole Miss that could come in and help plug that hole, or there's a starter that's leaving Michigan that could come in and help us at corner, or maybe we need a wide receiver, and there's a guy from USC that's looking in the portal. His stubbornness is what is holding Clemson back, and I think you can make an argument from Mario's entire career that has been his problem. He is an unbelievable motivator. He is an unbelievable recruiter. He is a great personality in the locker room. His players genuinely love him.
He's a good offensive line.
He's a great offensive line coach. Like, he has strengths that you can build on to have an elite program.
Yes.
But he is unwilling to get out of his own way when it comes to conservative play calling, letting an offensive coordinator truly take the reins, and then this, his big monkey of, like, I get it off your back. Let somebody else tell you when to take a knee. Let somebody else tell you when to call a timeout. You clearly suck at it. You don't need any more information. And so I saw that news yesterday, and I just chuckled and thought, is this really the time that he's going to learn that lesson and let somebody else run that for him? Because if he does, again, you go back to the original point, Miami is as talented as almost any team in the country, and they should run away with an ACC title based on the talent on that roster.
I don't know about run away. Clemson, from a talent standpoint, has things that could get in their way, right? Let's be fair somewhat to Florida State, though you and I think agree on that. Let's see what they do when they play him, all that stuff. But, you know, like, I think it's a pivotal year not only for Mario and Miami. What is the offense going to be with Cam Ward? Is Cam Ward ready for the swamp? It's one thing to do it in Pullman against Oregon State.
Yeah.
It's another to go to Gainesville and play in front of that fired up crowd who is all expecting their team to maybe not be as good, but those players have heard the noise and now they're pissed off and they're home underdogs. Is he ready for it? Because there's a quarterback in Wisconsin that it's going to be interesting to watch how he plays.
Yeah, Tyler Van Dyke.
He is named the starter of the Badgers.
Yeah.
And if he goes to Luke Fickell's offense and looks how he looked a couple years ago when people thought he was going to be good, and then Miami doesn't quite have this dream, like, it's going to be a really bad look on Mario again.
Yeah.
And so I just, maybe this is what college football has become now. You see this, Courtney Morgan is the name that you may have heard of. He signed an extension with Alabama.
Yeah, making nearly $1 million a year.
And I forget who was, somebody was hot after him. I forget who the program is right now, but they were hot after him. He signed a deal with Alabama. His job label is general manager.
Yeah.
Oregon has one of these. I learned that watching the Out West, that team Out West. They went on their big retreat, and there's a guy just running down the list of names. The guy's title, general manager.
Yeah, like, they got him from Texas A&M.
They got new jobs now because of the way this whole thing is opening up, and now you've got a clock manager. Not every program, I think, is going to have that per se, but it's funny that he has one because he needs one.
Yeah, just they're an interesting team, man. This weekend, Miami has a massive game on the road against Florida. It's funny.
Is that the biggest game? I know Florida's not coming in with a whole lot of, like, they're going to be great. But I'm just wondering if it is the biggest game. Because Georgia Clemson probably is from a name standpoint.
It's funny because I think the biggest game label depends on who wins it. Like if Florida wins.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Like I think that is the biggest game of like Miami lost.
Right.
Like that. But I think on the surface, I would expect Miami to win that game because I do think they're the more talented team. And I would then label Georgia Clemson the bigger game of the weekend because that's just Clemson and Dabo and everything we've talked about with him. And then Georgia seemingly being the front runner for the national championship this year. It's funny your point on Cam Ward, too, because he was a guy at Washington State that I always felt like would be up for big games and big moments. And you were kind of scared to play him in those moments. And then he would play Cal on the Pac-12 network that nobody was watching, and he'd throw four picks.
Yeah,
he'd throw, and you're like, dude, what are you doing? What?
Yes.
And it's almost like that's the worst combination with Mario, because that's Mario's weakness. He has those games against random teams.
Georgia Tech.
How are you losing this game?
Right.
And now you're going to look at, he's making a boneheaded coaching decision, and Cam Ward throws three picks, but they're going to beat Clemson and Florida and win two or three big games along the way, but let a few slip that they probably shouldn't.
I cannot wait to watch this game
Saturday. He's got a time guy. I can't tell you who the time guy is. But I got a time guy.
That's such a weird answer.
I got a plan. I know how to fix it. I'm not going to tell you the plan. Can't let you know the plan, but I got a plan. We're going to fix it, okay? I was going to also talk about Will Rogers there, but we ran out of time. So I'm going to holster
that. Yeah, the Husky starting quarterback.
He was named starter this week, weekend, but yesterday.
Didn't we all kind of know that?
We knew it, but I also know that they have a freshman quarterback that they are incredibly excited about. And how do you handle it? Like, it's a DJ and Aiden Childs situation last year.
I think it's a little different. I think it's different in the, if they get to a point, the freshman plays. It'd be like Delora and Fafita for him last year at Arizona. I think Washington needs to get off to a good start. I think Washington needs to do everything they can to get off to a 6 or more win season in the Big Ten. And I think the closest thing you get to that is by having a guy with experience from the SEC and Will Rogers.
He was really good for 2 years under Mike Leach in 21 and 22, and then last year just they Mississippi State had a bad year, and they just things kind of crumbled, and it didn't go well for him. Injury was a part of that as well, but can he return back to that form? He's an interesting fit of, is that who he is? Is this who he is? Does it fit with the offense? I know they're high on their wide receivers, but some of the guys are unproven. So Will Rogers was named the starting quarterback. We'll have some more time to chew on that as the week goes on. They open with Weber State. Damian Lillard's coming to town this weekend to play the Huskies. So there you go. Mario Cristobal has got a time management guy, but he won't tell you who he is. Mail sack. Get your questions into the Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. We'll answer them next on The Fan.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, is this a concern or gamesmanship? That's coming up 13 minutes from now. Let's get to the sack. We got a good-looking sack today, guys.
We got a good sack?
I like our sack today. Okay. So far, good sack. Keep them coming. Male sack question. Let's start with a fun one here for Sprague.
Okay.
How is the bearded dragon going? Wife and kids are wanting one. Before I said yes, I remembered, I know a guy. Are they difficult to keep alive?
Well, big news in the bearded dragon community. We found out yesterday, Blue Iverson is indeed a male, not a female. That was devastating to my house.
Really? They were really set on a female bearded dragon?
Well, they just kept telling me it was a female.
Yeah,
correcting me. It's a she, Dad. He identifies as a he now.
I mean, I think this is fair because you now have balanced out the power structure in the household. It is 3-on-3.
Yeah.
Now,
well,
two of them are animals, but it's technically 3-on-3.
It is 3-on-3, and that's why I said, kids are girls, pets are boys, is what we're dealing with here. Look, quickly on the bearded dragon because we got other questions. Don't buy a small terrarium tank deal. Just go buy the big one. You're going to need it in like 5 months after you get one. Make sure you got the proper heated lamp. And to be honest with you, I'm not a big lizard person. Still haven't really like held it.
Yeah.
They're like cats. They just sleep all day.
Don't do anything.
They don't run.
What do they eat?
Crickets, mealworms, and vegetables.
You throw a couple of things in there for them every day.
Yeah. My wife, dude, you want something gross? My wife has taken the mealworms and instead of buying more and more and more, she's now preserving some, making them turn into beetles, and then hoping they produce eggs so we have our own mealworm farm.
What?
Oh, yeah. Welcome to my life.
That's a thing.
And now I have a huge-ass tank in my front TV room. So when you come to my house to watch an NFL game,
first
there's
thing you see,
a lizard cage.
Yeah, there he is. So, bearded dragon.
But honestly, way easier to take care of than I thought. Get a timer for your heat lamp, too, because they have to have the heat and the light have to go off at night.
Okay.
Is that they don't live in those environments where it's hot all day.
Well, there you go. Dick Burns asked that question on Twitter, so we shout him out. Very easy to keep alive. How big do they get?
16, 18 inches.
Oh, that's a pretty good size lizard.
I mean, it's probably already a 12.
Is it really? Already
with a foot
tail
long? Length. Yeah.
Okay. That's that question. Who are you rooting for to lose more? And I read that wrong. Who are you more rooting for to lose in week one? Colorado or Miami? Who you hate watching more this weekend?
Colorado.
I think it's Colorado for me,
if
too.
If they lost Colorado to North Dakota State.
Colorado's the game. Funnier answer for sure.
Yes.
I don't, despite what I say about Mario, because I don't like him, I don't really hate Miami. And I think Miami being good is good for football. Mm. It's good for college football. Colorado losing is just hilarious. So
that would be really fun. I'm definitely Colorado.
I don't think I really have an answer for the hate, because I don't hate either, but I'm going to root for Colorado.
And especially I don't know where this betting money is coming on Colorado to make the playoff.
People are stupid. People bet on Bronny James to be the number one overall pick. He had more bets than anybody else to be the number one overall pick. People are stupid.
Yeah,
this is why we build casinos.
That's a little bit ridiculous. I don't think those are real bettors, to be honest with you. He's just a little handle of small money.
$10, $5, $10.
But seriously, how does he what is his reaction in the post-game press conference if they lose to North Dakota State?
That's why I'm rooting for it.
That would be wild to hear his excuses or why or what he's going to probably call his team a bunch of P words.
Oh, he probably will. And then is Sean Keeler allowed to ask questions again if they lose to North Dakota State? Is he allowed back into the room?
No way.
No, they're just going to start banning them all. Nobody else can ask a question. Just restatements. Mail sack question. What's the most common thing you've never done, i.e. I'm 33 and I have never ordered anything on Amazon?
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
The most common thing you've never... That is really hard.
For me?
I've never changed a tire.
Oh, okay.
Not a once.
That's a pretty good one.
Is that a pretty common thing?
I just changed my first tire, what was that, 2 years ago when I had a flat tire and I was late to the show. But I got it done. Took me a while, but I got it done.
I've never sampled the herb.
Yeah.
You've never done the ganja.
He's never smoked weed.
Nope. I've never done booger sugar.
Mm.
Too scared.
Yeah. Just got to go ahead and move on to the next one. Mail sack question.
He's still doing it.
What's the final score against Idaho State that makes you nervous? Like 41-21. I'm not thrilled. What's the final score that I should be concerned by this weekend?
41, like 27 would 41-27. You know, we won, but
nobody's giving us a chance. I don't know. Maybe they shouldn't.
I don't know what the spread of that game is. I haven't looked
at
that.
They don't have I don't think you have a spread.
Well, some of the FCS games, I think Oregon last year against Portland State was like a minus 50. No, I'm serious. I think Ohio State is favored by a ton of points this weekend.
Yeah, I think anything that's like sub 35 is like, what are we doing here? You know,
I don't know. I don't know if it's more about the offensive number or the points allowed. I'm expecting that defense to they should be good enough and have enough talent to keep them from doing anything.
I'll say four tutties. You say 35. If you win by four tutties, that's a pretty comfortable win.
If it's 56-28 and you give up 28 points to Idaho, I'm criticizing them. You know me, I'm hard on my team. I was critical when they didn't beat USC by enough at the end of the year last year, and everybody called me crazy.
When did they score the 28 points? Yeah, it depends on if
garbage is. Your backup should be better than Idaho's starters.
If it's 56 to 10 to start the fourth quarter and you pull everybody, okay, that's one thing.
I have a mail sack
question. Play to the standard, Swigard. Play to the standard.
Well, you're unrealistic. I have a mail sack question for you, too.
Yeah,
okay.
I saw this yesterday. Riders at Six Flags in Mexico got stranded, stuck 250 feet in the air on the swings. Because there was a tropical storm moving in, they had to experience torrential downpour and massive wind gusts
while
in individual swings.
Why couldn't they bring them down?
Because it would have been too dangerous with the wind.
Dude,
There's video of these people just sitting in swings.
First of all,
this is why I don't go on roller coasters.
If you know that there's a tropical storm, potential hurricane out there in the Gulf, why are you going to an amusement park in the first place?
Pretty dumb idea.
Because you probably bought the tickets ahead of time, and they have probably really awful
YOLO
refund
policy. Let's go up in the sky while there's a tropical storm running
around. Dude, you should see the videos. They're so high up that they're looking down at a roller coaster as it's still going because it's not being impacted the way they
are. I'm out on all this, man. That's some random bro that screwed that screw in. Is that screw still good? I'm out. I don't trust any of that stuff.
Did you see the Ferris wheel that caught on fire over in Europe?
Exactly. I'm out on that.
I don't do swing rides at any park anywhere. I don't like
my
swing
riding
ride.
Days are over. I'd love a good roller coaster.
I'd do a good roller coaster.
Let me go.
You give me the Velociraptor roller coaster, wherever the hell that thing is. I've seen it. I've seen the video. I'll do that. That looks fun.
Okay.
Looks safe. But the swing, just chains hanging down, I'm out.
I'm out on that. I'm still not tall enough to do roller coasters anyways. Mail sack question, being mid to late 30s guy that I am, any activities that I do outside of work involve some kind of drinking? Hikes, races, 5K, softball, golf, etc. Question for Sprague is, was there any drinking teams on the Hood to Coast?
Oh, yeah,
people getting boozed up while they're running?
Can
you run while you're boozed up? Does that work for you?
I don't know if they were boozed up when they ran.
But after the...
It's like a post-run beer that... Look, our van, I think we had one... We had a couple guys get a beer after our first leg. We got a burger. And I had like a little sip of it. Man, that beer hit good. There's vans that believe in having a post-run beer of all three legs.
Mm.
So there are vans that booze.
How long
do
you have in between your legs? Usually.
You got hours.
So from the first leg to the second leg, you've got about six. And then from the second leg to your third, and this is what sucks, is you got like another six, but you got to sleep at that point. And so now your body is resting, and now the aches and pains of running two legs have kicked in. But you've got 6 to 7 miles that you still have to finish running.
So if you have a pop or two after your run, you're okay. Like it's 6 hours away till your next run.
You guys have heard me talk. I don't really drink anymore. Yeah. We got to the beach, and we got to the tent.
Had some fun.
We had some pops at our meal, and then we had some pops on the beach.
Hell yeah.
It was time to relax.
As things are getting more expensive, what item have you paid the most money on and you regret buying it? I mean, there's a few times I bought meat, and then I looked at my meat, and I'm like, that's expensive meat.
What?
Yeah.
You've had regrets about buying meat?
Meat had a time there where meat was pretty spendy.
Like a bone-in tomahawk?
Yeah, it's just stuff like that.
$70, $80 for a steak?
It hasn't gotten cheaper yet.
No, it's still up there.
That's not going backwards.
It's still up there.
Ground beef is pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, anything that's
not 1 pound, by the way. They're calling those 1 pounds. I know 1 pound. 1 pound in my day, that package was filled. That package is no longer filled.
I'm curious, Dirt, on Monday, did you share this with Sprague? The Big Wood's still in here?
No, I did not. I did not share that. I forgot about that one, to be honest with you. That was Friday. Swag was talking about his wood. I don't know what he was doing over there, man. It got weird on Friday.
This is a tough question. You know, I don't know if it's a big ticket item. I was going to say a lawnmower. I bought a lawnmower.
It doesn't have to be a big ticket item. It's just something you bought that's more expensive that you look back on. You're like,
I bought a brand new lawnmower about a year and a half ago. Yeah. I got rid of my entire front yard. No grass.
No lawn anymore.
Had grass in just the back.
Yeah.
We're getting rid of it. We're done with grass. We're doing planter boxes. We're making fire pits. We're done with yard management.
Yeah.
It's just going to be dialed. Grow vegetables, no grass, and now I have a brand new lawnmower. It's barely been used.
Oldest thing I'm doing right now, we put in a bunch of pumpkins earlier this summer. Dude, I got pumpkins coming in, and I am so jacked for my pumpkins.
My buddy does the giant pumpkin contest.
The big ones?
And he's got two right now that I looked at the other day. Wow.
Big ones?
They're massive.
That's exciting.
And he has to put, like, awnings over them.
They take so much space
up. And he has to go around because the plant's huge.
Massive.
And you have to pick off all the potential other pumpkins because the energy source goes into growing.
You need all the nutrients going to the one
to
pumpkin.
One
to
pumpkin.
The giant
it has
pumpkin.
To sort in. Yeah.
You don't want some bastard pumpkin taking your strengths away.
And you got to make sure it doesn't rot out there on the vine.
Yeah, because sometimes they crack, and if they crack too much, it'll rot. And dude, it's a whole deal, these giant pumpkins.
I'll tweet out a picture of my pumpkin when I get home today.
Are they like traditional orange?
Normal pumpkin. I mean, it's still green, but I got a good-sized pumpkin growing.
That's kind of exciting for old Teddy Ball Game.
Very exciting.
The pumpkin farm is a bit of a... It's a scam. It's a ruse. It's an absolute ruse. Like, no. Don't even get me started.
Got parking and mud.
This is my whole idea.
Son.
Yes.
Have at it.
My whole idea to get the wife to not make me go to a pumpkin patch this year for his first one was I'm planting pumpkins in the backyard and I have pumpkins coming in.
Can I say publicly?
Just get her a pumpkin spice latte.
Exactly. I'll put a flannel shirt on him and walk out there in October and be like, hey, buddy, here's your pumpkin. And put him in a
wheelbarrow.
You just
want this for the picture anyway.
Yes. Here's your picture with a pumpkin.
I support the pumpkin patches, but like also I don't want to go to the pumpkin patches.
It's a long day.
You know,
and it's a weekend
time.
And football season.
Yeah, don't get me started. Yeah, checking the scores at ESPN. Do I have service out here?
What are we doing?
At swiping
some point,
down.
You know, one time you're going to do it, but once is enough.
Once,
that's a one time. Once is
two
enough.
Two kids have done it like 18 times. Crazy.
It's been 35 years. Mail sack question. Idaho week. What is your favorite way to eat a potato? Ooh. French fries excluded.
Yeah.
Other fried ways. Wow.
I'm very embarrassed to tell you guys, I've been craving a baked potato, a loaded one. So I went to the store and I bought a bunch of potatoes, four massive russet potatoes. I baked them at 450 for 45 minutes. They still were not very soft.
Really?
So I gave a very subpar baked potato yesterday that I was disappointed in, but it was delicious. Sour cream and cheese and bacon chopped up with chives and
a
green
loaded
onion.
Baked potato is like
my God,
really, really hard to beat.
So I mashed potatoes probably my goat,
yeah,
but baked potatoes a very close second.
I do like roasted red potatoes, olive oil, fresh tarragon, salt and pepper.
I like that too. I'm a baked potato
tasty.
Guy. And hash brown,
hash browns are I'm more
delightful.
Like hash, like you do,
sure,
you know a good. You know, corned beef hash or something like that. Get them real cripsy. But the other way.
Did you just make them a gang?
Yeah, I think you did. Yeah.
Cripsy?
Cripsy.
You got a gang of potatoes over there, man. Look out. Dude,
switch those letters there.
Potato boys.
Flying blue colors. What's going on here? Don't put ketchup on those potatoes now. They're cripsies.
You're going to have a fight in your kitchen.
And then I'll do like mashed potato, more smashed potatoes again with red potatoes. Leave the skins on.
Yeah.
And I will put cream cheese in there with the chives. Cream cheese is fantastic in your. Get your mashed potatoes.
I like some cream cheese in the potato. Sour cream is elite. I like to boil a Yukon Gold, get it soft, but not too soft, but soft enough where you then mash it down and flatten it, and then you bake it with salt on it, and you crisp it up.
It's kind of like a little chip, like a thick
it's
chip.
It's kind of like a thick chip hash brown thing situation. Yeah,
I'm cool with that. People are saying that I asked you, how long are you between your legs? So that should be a drop. Another one saying, what did people regret buying? Multiple people have texted in their children. That has come in, too. So, you know, just letting you know where people
you
are.
You bought that, huh? How expensive was the wife?
Expensive, man. Expensive stuff.
She came from Rothschild.
Well, that's one of your mail sack question. Does this Mario time management coach segment make you worry that you gave Jeff the best idea he's ever had for the station? Well played. Well,
I am the time management
coach. We do.
Coach,
we have a time management guy.
Yeah. So
we don't follow protocols. Mario said we sometimes don't follow protocol.
He got fired from time manager of primetime.
He did.
That's why
he's
on this show.
We got our own time manager, and you know, it
you could argue he's still failing. What time is it
it's
right
32.
Now?
32. Shut up. We got to go to break. God. Hey, is this great mail sack today? By the way, guys, well done. Appreciate those every Tuesday. Concern or gamesmanship? Next. Appreciate all the comments on how to bake cook potatoes. Somebody said you could use a charcoal grill, take the potatoes, cut holes, and stuff the holes with garlic cloves, wrap them in foil, place them on the hot coals. You can cook them all the meat and cook them at the same time as your meat.
Yeah, no, I appreciate the insight on the baked potato. I've had good experiences, but I took a recipe, and I'm like, that looks delicious, and I think the potato was too big. I went
too
for the
big
giant
of
ones.
A potato.
Yeah, so I followed the recipe online. And I took a bigger potato and didn't change that. So
another one for the potato question. Tater tot waffle. Shove a bunch of tater tots in a waffle maker. Cook it until it's crispy. That's top it with whatever you want. Super good.
Yeah, put some egg on that. A little bacon.
Now I'm getting hungry. Last night I watched the Dan Lanning press conference. Monday of week one. He has them every Monday night.
This is the one I didn't want to watch.
Yeah, I mean, there's, you know, people ask some questions about Idaho, which, okay. The only takeaway that I had from it last night was they have not named yet a starting center from the weekend, or from the fall camp, I should say. And he was asked again last night, do you have a starting center? Are you going to announce a starting center? And he said, no, I'm not going to announce a starting center. You will find out Saturday when you show up to the game who the starting center is. So we're all waiting on pins and needles.
This has been a concern, I think, for Oregon for two reasons. One, two of their offensive linemen are hurt. We mentioned the Bedford injury, who was a transfer from Minnesota. Is that where he's from? I think so. He is out. And then Dave Lulley is also out. He's a junior. He's been in the program for a couple of years. Neither of them will likely play this weekend, although they are expected back at some point. And they've been kind of doing a rotating, shuffling chairs with three different guys taking snaps and trying to figure that out. Gamesmanship or something that I should be concerned about that we have not named a starting center yet?
Yes.
Okay.
It is absolute gamesmanship, but also it doesn't matter. What matters is just getting snaps correct.
I mean, it can look at Alabama and the Rose Bowl last year. They win that game if they have a guy that can snap the football.
Probably, because every snap was at that guy's feet.
Yes.
I saw his answer, and basically you'll find out on Saturday. I guess I would just be more curious to ask somebody like you, who's a little more plugged in. Mm-hmm. You seemed fairly confident that replacing JPJ was going to be no big deal.
Yeah, Pancho was supposed to take over that gig. He started in the Fiesta Bowl. JPJ did not play in the Fiesta Bowl, and Pancho started at center. And he actually played consistent snaps last year at both guard and center. He was kind of one of their first wave of reserve offensive linemen. He played a lot of snaps.
So what happened?
I don't know.
Must have had a bad camp.
I don't know.
My takeaway.
There were rumors and murmurs that they were having quarterback exchange issues throughout fall camp.
Well, that's the other part.
And that snapping was a bit of a problem.
Well, they're going to be in shotgun a lot, but they're also, with Gabriel, and I'm not blaming Dylan Gabriel here, just the fact is Dylan Gabriel is smaller than Bo Nix.
He's a tiny guy. A
little bit of an adjustment, probably, to that snap, that quarterback center exchange, but, I mean, this isn't a big deal this week.
No.
Who do you guys play week two?
Boise State at home in week two.
I still tend to believe that's not a big deal. Talent-wise, you should win that game by 20.
To me, it's something that it's not a deal yet, but I am going to circle it this weekend. Because I will watch every snap of that game. I have a problem.
Well, sure.
Is there an issue? Is there a bet? Are we getting snaps at feet? Are we getting a snap randomly over the head? It's not going to cost you this week.
Is there a fumble on the ground?
But those kind of things, when you get into an Ohio State game, a Washington game, a Michigan game, a Wisconsin game, like a bad snap can cost you a game.
Yes.
Hell, I saw my team mentioning that Mario blown lead. They were on the brink of going up like 28-0 in that game, if you remember, and they snapped it over Herbert's head on like the 5-yard line going in, and Stanford ran it back 95 yards for a touchdown.
Yeah.
Those things can cost you games in big moments. So, I'm not there on necessarily it being a problem yet.
You know what I would say it is?
Yeah.
Based on what you're saying, and I wonder if the coaching staff feels the same way, this was not something we thought we'd be concerned about, and here we are a little concerned about.
Yes.
And so now it's like, great. Something's popped up.
And that's where, look, they released their depth chart yesterday, and it was, I don't even think it was an actual depth chart, if I'm not mistaken. What I saw when I was reading it, I think they just listed all the players at each position, and there wasn't, like, any sort of delineation. Maybe I read it wrong. I was on the golf course when I read it, but when I was looking through it, I'm like, did they just, like, I know who the offensive linemen are, but you didn't list any, like, one or anything like that.
Yeah.
And so that's what kind of led to these questions last night of why haven't you named a starter? This is something that Lanning does like to do. There is a bit of gamesmanship of he's coy with the media, and I'm not going to, you're not going to get specifics about injuries and starters and position battles. Like, somebody asked him last night what was the most interesting and heated position battle for a starter that you went through in fall camp, and he gave the answer of all of them, which is like, all right, that narrowed it down. Thanks, Dan.
I'm never going to get anything
appreciate that answer. So I do think there is a part of this that is a bit of gamesmanship, but also, in my mind, I'm a worrier, and when you haven't named a starter yet, when I thought this was kind of an already answered question, and you haven't done that yet going into week one, that's the one that...
But is it settled after an Idaho game? No snap problems.
And maybe
problems,
it is settled that they come out and Poncho's the starting center, and there's no issues, and you're like, oh... So this wasn't a thing at all.
It's about the only thing we have to talk about with that game, because no disrespect to people, you can love the Oregon Ducks. This is a week you miss.
Yeah.
Like, you just see the final score and you go, hey, yeah, we did end up winning by 60.
70-3, okay.
And a lot of you will watch the game. We will watch the game. But I just think it's like our media brethren are down there like, hey, what do you think about Idaho's quarterback? Like, who cares?
Right.
It doesn't matter. He's not going to give you a real answer anyway.
He's going to be complimentary, and it's just patronizing almost to a certain extent.
Read the Idaho-Oregon preview. No, thank you. Yeah, they're going to win by 50 points.
Yeah, I think, you know, I don't know if part of this, too, is Bedford being out. You know, Pancho did play a lot of guard last year, that maybe they just feel like he's stronger at guard, and they haven't decided if they want to start him there. So there could be that part of the problem as well. But many people have asked me, and I know we've talked about this on the show, Like, yeah. I was even asked this yesterday playing in that tournament, and people were, you know, what's your concern about Oregon? Like, if you were to circle one thing that is a question mark on that roster. And to me, it's not even a tough call. I really don't have that many concerns. This is one of the best rosters we've ever seen in Eugene. It's easily the offensive line. But just how they gel, how healthy you stay. I like the anchors you have at right and left tackle. But in between, the guy you brought in to start at guard is banged up. Dave Lulley, who you thought maybe fills into a bigger role, banged up. Poncho should be ready to go, but is there a snapping issue? Like, to me, offensive line is the one thing that you circle, and you circle it all year long. Is it a strength or is it a weakness? Because when you go on the road to Wisconsin, Michigan late in the year, when you're playing Ohio State, who has one of the best fronts, like, you're going to need to be elite up front in order to win those games.
Yeah.
And they have the ability to do it, but it is not a guarantee. Whereas a lot of other position groups on Oregon, I look at and say, I don't have, like, wide receiver, you're good. Quarterback, you're fine. Running back, you're fine. Secondary, you're good. Like, not many concerns. Offensive line, biggest one to circle.
And the thing about having concerns like that is you're evaluating them at kind of the top tier.
Yeah.
So it's like you can take care of a lot of the middle, the lower level teams from a talent standpoint, star
without
rating,
a doubt.
But
yes,
when you play Ohio State, when you go to Michigan, hell, when you make go to Wisconsin late in the season,
that's when it's a priority.
That's when you're like, all right, is this still a concern? Because if it is, some of these teams, the top end of the conference, Michigan may be down this year from what they were last year, they're still going to have hogs and horses, man. And you're going to Ann Arbor, and that's when the cause for concern creeps in. This weekend, yeah, you just hope there's no bad snaps and you move on.
They'll all play at center. I know that this weekend because you're playing Idaho and then you got to figure it out. So not naming a starting center, and we'll see if that ends up being a lingering storyline for the Ducks or if it's answered after this week and next week's game against Boise State. Let's send you on your way on a Tuesday. Wrap it up next on The Fan. All right, we'll take a quick look at the poll questions here. Before we do, a few other things in my notes that we have not talked about today. Do we appreciate the trolling of Lane Kiffin on Ohio State? Did you see what he did yesterday?
I think I missed this.
Lane Kiffin, there was a story that came out on ESPN entitled How Ohio State Built a $20 Million National Championship or Bust Roster. And Lane Kiffin tweeted out the link. Just the story. Just, literally the tweet is just the headline.
Let me just
how
set
Ohio
this here.
State built a $20 million national championship roster, national title or bust roster via the ESPN app. I always appreciate a good troll job. And Lane never misses a good opportunity to sneak one in there. There's been some interesting things coming out. I think there's a book coming out about Saban. I believe that's the basis of it. But about his relationship with Nick Saban and how much they hated each other by the end of his run there in Tuscaloosa and the things that he would do that would piss Saban off. It just, he's such an interesting cat.
But, yeah, that's interesting. I don't know if I buy all that.
I think I do, because Saban was a, like, didn't he get technically fired before taking the Ole Miss job, like, before they went to the playoff, where he was like, I don't want you around anymore?
I mean, I'm sure it was probably lingering there, but I think they've both had pretty complimentary things to say. And, like, that's for public
maybe time
facing,
is, yeah, but time. I think it was when he was leaving for the FAU job, because he took the FAU job from Alabama.
Lane certainly pressed his buttons.
Yes.
Lane certainly worked with him in a way that we didn't see anybody else get undressed on the sidelines quite like when Nick Saban would yell at Lane Kiffin.
So he is trolling Ohio State, which a good troll job's always appreciated. And then in the NFL notes today, does this mean anything to you? Does it move the meter at all that owners are going to vote and likely vote on allowing a sale of up to 10% of the team to, private equity firms? Is that a thing at all? Do we care?
No, I think it's a bigger deal. They're refusing to use their technology for ball first down line
markers.
Yeah,
we're not using the new technology that we came out with.
We just tested it. It worked.
Worked in the preseason.
We just really want to hold on to the line judges, huh?
Chains, man. You got to have chains.
I guess.
Chain gang.
Why can't they just be the chain gang? They have no determining factor whether the ball hit the line or not. That's what the technology's for.
Hey, keep the guys
out
there.
You can afford to keep the job while still using technology to determine the outcome.
I think the chain gang is still needed. You still need the guys out
saying.
There with a marker.
Just keep
and you're
out
still,
there.
Yes. You're still doing your job. But
it'd be weird to have football with no chain gang. Come on. We can admit that. I need an old guy that whose leg might snap in half if Lamar Jackson hits him. But I would rather have technology, just like tennis does, showing me if the ball is touching that line.
It's like if you go to an electronic strike zone in baseball, you still got to have an umpire back there. Like, you still got to be a guy.
They will.
Got to be a guy there. Like, we're not going to play the game without an umpire. Yeah, I'm with
exactly.
You. That one doesn't make any sense.
I think that's a bigger deal than private equity firms spending money.
We worrying about the Saudis coming in and buying 10% of every NFL team?
Not worried. I know it's going to happen.
Let's see here. Let's go to the poll question. Some of them from yesterday, they kind of lingered. A few of them are pretty good and got good responses. I did enjoy this. Let me see the final results on it. And somebody made a really funny joke. We asked, will Mike Tomlin finally have a sub-500 year this year in Pittsburgh? Final results, 51% to 49% say no, he will be 9-8 or 8-8-1.
Good luck to you guys.
And one listener pointed out, even the poll results are 50-50, summing up Mike Tomlin as a head coach. So I quite enjoyed that. In Swag's face, do you enjoy Joe Tessitore on the call of a college football game?
Dude.
68% of people say yes, they do.
He was starting to get in the way. As I was watching,
I don't know what you want in a broadcaster. Yeah, you hate everybody.
Yeah, no. Who do you like? What do you like?
Give me more. Joe Tessitore, get out of the way.
More X's and O's. Too much energy. What do we want here? What makes you happy?
Joe Buck's great. Like, I don't know why everybody seems to have issues. I love Buck.
Joe Buck's awesome.
Tessitore's voice, fantastic. I just think of boxing when he gets excited for football. That's
yeah,
my
boxing
problem.
And
like, he's on the ropes.
Isn't he moving to professional wrestling now?
He
or
is.
Doing
yeah.
some stuff.
WWE. He's going to be the new WWE guy.
He might be great in
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
Top 10 team going down? You don't want a little juice on the call?
I don't mind a little natural excitement. It seems...
What was his call again? The rainbow
gold? Pot of gold at the end of the rainbow.
Dirt loves him some Tessitore. He came out of the closet yesterday.
I'm out of the closet. I'm a big Tessitore guy.
He's a big Tessitore. Did you like him on Monday Night Football?
Who was his booth again? Was that the Booger booth?
Booger and Witten.
I mean, he didn't really have a fighting chance there. He was with...
But I just
Booger
didn't feel like
and Witten,
but it didn't feel like a prime time.
I mean, I liked
game.
Him better than Steve Levy calling the games.
Well,
see, I thought Levy was funny,
really?
And he was. I enjoy a little bit more conversational style.
You like the Dennis Miller booth?
I love Dennis Miller anyway. I thought Miller was fantastic. Give me more Dennis Miller.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The listeners have spoken. They disagree with you. They like Joe Tessitore
That's
calling
fine.
Games.
I just it.
To me, I'm with you. Like Monday Night, like college football, to me is there are theatrics and there are like I think that's just kind of built into the sport that I'm just used to it. Like if you're calling a regular season NFL game, I'm with you that I'm more conversational and Joe Buck kind of fits. But there's something about a top 10 team losing that I want that gravitas.
Is there a
if he's calling that like Indiana Illinois and it's 9-6 and it's a first down?
It wasn't
and you're giving
so
me that call, then I'm like, dude, calm down. Nobody cares.
It wasn't
right.
so
it was
much the very end of the game with the final. It was. Somewhere leading end of the third quarter into the fourth quarter.
Mm.
And I'm like, okay, let's get there.
Is there a football broadcaster that doesn't solicit a hate or a love? Because I have one. Mine is Kenny Albert. He's on.
Yeah.
I don't think I hate him, but I don't love him because he's on like the third most important game of Fox.
Mm.
Whereas like, and no disrespect, Chris Myers is calling the worst game of the day. And so
he
like
is.
I kind of associate his voice with
the bad game.
The bad game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Myers got stuck into I'm the bad game guy.
He totally did.
Which, you know, that's a good gig.
Yeah.
He's getting paid by Fox probably a lot of money to do that. But like
people are only hearing you on the red zone.
If I talked to Chris Myers, I'd be like, oh, this is the worst thing to talk about.
Yeah. Should we all be jealous of Jesse Palmer? 58% of you say yes. Yeah. That is the correct answer.
His wife, his looks. Come on.
We asked today or yesterday, I should say.
Shows.
Dude, yeah,
just
dude.
Living the dream.
Living the dream. Which quarterback will start the most game for the Beavers this year? 58% of you say McCoy. Yep. 23% said Bengal Branson.
I still think it's going to be Johnson.
17% agree with you and say Jabari Johnson. That will do it, folks. Good little show. Stuart Mandel is our guest. Tomorrow, Josh Pate back on the program. 740.
That's our goal is 740.
740. Josh Pate will join us every Wednesday,
Week
and that continues
one, so
tomorrow.
Much. Might just be like, hey, Josh, let's hit. Go.
Go.
USC, LSU.
Go.
A&M, Notre Dame.
Oregon, Idaho.
Just kidding.
Oregon State, Idaho. That will do it for us, folks. Thanks so much for being a part of our Tuesday. If you watch the show on YouTube, make sure you like the video before it closes down. Subscribe to the channel if you haven't done so yet. We're almost to 3,000 subscribers on YouTube, which is awesome. Go subscribe to the channel. Some great content there. We will talk to you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Colin is next. You're listening to 1080 The Fan.
I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to the Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.